This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. You can follow Dana everywhere, D Lash or Dana Lash Radio on Twitter. One of the best ways to stay connected to her, but she's all over the place. DirecTV Channel 347, all via the First TV. You know, you can find her. She's, as I said, pretty much everywhere, impressively so. All right, let's get right into it. A bunch of things out there in the world. Joe Biden, our president, is trying to convince everybody that he's fine, that his brain is totally fine. The way he went about doing that is interesting. First, he did this interview in Philadelphia on radio where they sent the questions in advance. I'll get to that in a bit because I think even the radio host didn't realize what she was admitting, and she's now, well, quit her job slash been fired because it was absolutely ridiculous to get questions in advance and then approve certain ones and not other ones. And still, Biden swung and missed in part of that interview. Then there was the Stephanopoulos interview where people have praised George Stephanopoulos for being tough on Biden, which I find hilarious. And I'll tell you why very quickly. Biden has been broken for a while. Conservative media has known about it and been telling you about it for a while. And a whole lot of, well, crap media out there, or most of the legacy left-leaning media, has denied it. They've lied about it. They've protected Biden at all costs. Now it is finally obvious, or at least completely impossible to be hidden anymore. So because of that, now media is playing hard on Biden. They should have been doing this years ago. They should have been doing this when he ran for president the first time. You don't praise somebody when they're 3 years late to a thing. But anyway, Stephanopoulos did his interview. And then Joe Biden called into Morning Joe on MSNBC for some reason. I really do think that this might have been a surprise, although maybe not. Who knows? To the Morning Joe people. Mika seemed particularly surprised. But I have several pieces of audio from that. So let's start there. Joe Biden calling into Morning Joe and getting upset right from the start when he is called the presumptive nominee, and he is not for that. I'm definitely the Democratic nominee. Darn it, how dare you? What have you heard? That sort of thing becomes a focal point. So let's play that audio first, and then we'll get to a bunch more of what's out there in the world.
Now for something a little different, and from inside the White House, we have a special guest. Joining us now, the 46th president of the United States and presumptive Democratic nominee Joe Biden, calling in to Morning Joe right now. Good morning, sir.
Hey, Mika, I'm more than presumptive. I'm going to be the Democratic nominee.
How dare you?
Okay, well, Mr. President, that leads to the...
Yeah, they're going to ask him a bunch of questions, and some of them are going to be a little bit hard. But again, media does not deserve praise for finally deciding to challenge their own candidate on their side of the political aisle, MSNBC among the worst of them. But let's hear from when Joe gets a little more frustrated. He gets angry. He starts yelling stuff. That seemed to be an interesting moment that went viral for a lot of people.
The American public is not going to move away from me as the average voter. And again, I'm here for two reasons, pal. One, to rebuild the economy for hardworking middle-class people, give everybody a shot.
Okay.
It's a straight shot. Everybody gets a fair chance, number one. Number two, remember all this talk about how I don't have the black support? Come on, give me a break. Come with me. Watch. Watch. I'm getting so frustrated by the
elite. Yeah, I can tell.
Now, I'm not talking about you guys, but about the elite in the party who they know so much more. But if any of these guys don't think I should run against me, go ahead, announce the president. Challenge me at the convention.
Come on, challenge me. Take me on. Let's see what happens. Nothing bad occurs when Joe Biden is challenged by people, maybe in a debate or anywhere else like that. But again, those were some of the interesting moments as far as the defiant, the angry Biden. Of course, there was also the broken brain Biden, because that's the guy that actually exists there. Here's a little example of that.
The Biden plan, which got in Israel for the Gaza Strip, is something that was adopted by the UN Security Council. Whether it comes to fruition, it's awful close. We'll see. G7's
okay.
But look, I'm not going to explain anymore about what I should or shouldn't do. I am running.
I'm not going to explain to you any of the positions I'm going to take if I continue to stay in the White House. Why would anyone want me to do that? Explain to you what my agenda is, because I can't explain it because I have no idea what it is most of the time. I love that. And I love that Joe Scarborough did try to jump in there at one point and save the guy. I'll play that part again because I think it's interesting. As you start stumbling around and getting confused as to what organizations you're even working with on certain agenda points, Joe's like, all right, anyway, let's move on. And then our president continues with some rambling.
The Biden plan, which got in Israel for the Gaza Strip, is something that was adopted by the UN Security Council. Whether it comes to fruition, it's awful close. We'll see. G7. But look, I'm not going to explain anymore about what I should or shouldn't do. I am running.
I love that. I'm not going to explain any more about what I should or shouldn't do or anything that I have a plan to do. Like, none of that matters. It'll be fine. By the way, one other thing I thought was interesting out there, the vice president might at some point actually be the president. And there's a couple different theories on this. Some of them are that this has been planned for a while, which I thought was very interesting as a take out there, because no matter how much trouble Biden and his family could get in for all of the Hunter Biden business deal situations that might be occurring, you might want to promote someone from within the vice president and then make her the president and then allow her to pardon Biden and his family for any wrongdoing that might have occurred. That is a very interesting take. And I think that that deserves a lot more focus as we look moving forward to what happens. But obviously, if Biden is decided to be by his own party incapable of continuing to be the president for four more years, it begs the question, how is he possibly capable of being the president for a few more months? If his brain is broken, it has to be real broken. And so I thought this was interesting. The New York Post put out a story about how Kamala Harris might become the first DEI president in the history of our country. And you know what's so funny about that? As soon as the Post put that out, a bunch of people went crazy. A bunch of the liberal media people and, you know, politicians started screaming and yelling racism, or this is horrible, this is terrible. How dare anybody try to refer to Kamala Harris as a DEI hire? That is ridiculous. That is untrue. And you know what's so funny about that is you just have to dive into audio from MSNBC from 2020 before Biden actually picked his vice presidential candidate. And you hear it said out loud. You hear Reverend Al Sharpton say those exact words to Biden. You better hire a black woman as your VP. And he says, we've talked about it. You understand it. You get it. So literally, and this is the thing, I think it breaks my brain all the time. Whenever you talk about diversity, equity, inclusion, all that crap out there, is it actually takes away from the people who get jobs that they deserve. And what I mean by that is when you shape it as being this person's going to be hired because they're this skin color, or they're this sex, or they're this whatever, you already put in everyone's brain that the individual you just picked was not the best candidate. It's just the candidate that checked specific boxes. So it not only hurts the fact that you're not picking the best person for the job, it also hurts the person you put in that position because no one will think they're the best for the job. This happens again and again and again. And anytime that you question it, liberal media and crazy left-leaning people yell and scream about how racist you sound. But truthfully, I wouldn't want a job if someone said to me, the reason we hired you is that you're this sex or this race or this any. I wouldn't want that. I'd want a job because I was the best person for it. But here, I'll play you some audio to prove it. 2020 election. So several years ago, Al Sharpton interviewing Biden about his campaign, talking about the vice presidential pick and saying out loud into a microphone and a camera that it better be a black woman. It better be a DEI hire. And Biden apparently was acknowledging, I guess, off the air with Sharpton that that's totally fine.
And you and I have talked. You know that I prefer a black female. You've committed to a woman. You've committed to a woman, a black woman, to the Supreme Court. I won't press you on that because you've given it to a committee. But for the record, we have had that discussion and you listened and said you're going to make the decision after the committee raises it. And incredible leaders, Melanie Campbell of the Black Women's Roundtable and others have raised it. And part of it, I think, is the sensitivity of black women have to deal with sexism and racism. You know,
Yeah. Now I understand why Sharpton's going to say that this is important. This is why we need a person that looks like this or a person that is the sex in the White House. But it's hilarious because they literally said it out loud several times. Actually, I remember that Gavin Newsom in California also said when he was going to replace a politician, he was going to make sure to pick a black woman. That is pandering. That's all the things that you know it to be and I know it to be. And it's ridiculous and it's dumb. And for that reason, no matter how much the left wants to get mad at a article in the New York Post, it's true. It is a DEI hire that might wind up being the president of the country who will tell us that she's proud of where she's gotten to and she's not, you know, affected by what has been or whatever the crap is she says all the time and repeat. Let's do this real quick. I like this too. And then we'll take a break. This is a black woman. I'm not trying to make fun of her for her race or her sex, but I do think that her statements are hilarious, uniquely hilarious. She's being described online as the deranged lunatic that is also the president of the National Education Association. She really channels Dwight Schrute and The Office, if anyone remembers his famous speech he gave on that TV show. But Becky Pringle is her name. And here's some of the stuff she screamed and yelled into a microphone as well about, I don't know, something. Let's go ahead and play it.
NEA delegates, we can do this work. We must do this work. We get to do this work. Okay. We will do this work because our students are depending on us to win all the things. NEA, we have to win all the things. All the things. All the things.
All right, I gotta stop right there. There's like 30 more seconds of this. This is incredible. And again, it is being compared to Dwight Schrute from The Office. Because he also pounded the podium. He also yelled ridiculous stuff into a microphone. And during his speech, I think, to salespeople, there was a lot of praise and a lot of applause. So it seems the same. I'll play a little bit of Dwight from The Office so you can see the comparison.
Of Northeastern Pennsylvania, I ask you once more, rise and be worthy of this historical hour.
Do it! I love the maniacal laughing of a Dwight Schrute. That's pretty great. She needed some of that. Let's hear a little bit more from Becky Pringle.
Our colleagues are depending on us to win all the things. Keep going, NEA.
Go!
To preserve our democracy, we must win all the things. Delegates, we won't go back. We will keep going forward because we are the NEA.
I got to stop it there. Again, one more time. I love every part of that. That is hilarious. And the biggest reaction I have is I wonder how she feels when she gets off of the stage, when she gets down onto the floor and people are looking at her. And some people might have an honest take of that was nuts. And then other people are probably applauding her. I wonder if you feel great or if you start, it creeps in that you might have been insane for a few minutes in front of a large group of people. I'm not sure which one it is. I'm going to assume the arrogance makes you think you did a great job. But social media has had a field day with this, and rightfully so. All right, I'll take a break. A lot coming up. This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in.
According to a March 2024 report from the Association of American Medical Colleges, the U.S. is facing a shortage of 86,000 doctors by 2036. Already, wait times to see a doctor nearly reach 4 weeks. That's a troubling trend set to worsen. And your alternative? Lengthy hours in the ER or urgent care amid a whole crowd of ill people. Yeah, no. Mm-mm. Take control of your own health care. Order a medical emergency kit from The Wellness Company. Now, this is not, I repeat, it's not a first aid kit. It's like having an urgent care in your home. It's super handy. It comes with doctor prescribed medicines for over 30 medical issues, antibiotics for infections, strep throat. I've used it, pneumonia, bronchitis, all kinds of stuff. Match your symptoms to the prescription in your booklet and take the correct meds now to get well faster. There's no waiting for a doctor or a pharmacy or being around tons of sick people. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit, and you can order yours online in literally minutes. Get 15% off at twc.health/Dana and use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana at twc.health/Dana.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. You can find her everywhere. YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, DirecTV, Channel 347, DanaRadio.com. Also a great way to stay connected. Let's do a quick five.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
That's right. Quick five. First, let's start with the tropical storm Beryl, which has hit Texas. There are reports that at least two people have died and that a whole lot of people, 2.5 million customers, are without power. The storm, I think, has been downgraded as it's moving closer to Houston. But right now, what you're seeing, what you're hearing about the storm is that it's really bad and people should seek shelter throughout parts of Texas. And throughout, well, anywhere else that the path of the storm is said to go. But that I thought was an interesting, just quick update on that story. Other stuff out there that's way less serious as far as quick five goes. Wisconsin police apparently released a pun-filled statement about a cheese incident that occurred. I actually have audio of local news covering this, which I assume is on your side or, you know, on top of everything, every second of every day, whatever the slogan is for them. But here is a report reading through the police statement on a cheese incident in Wisconsin.
Police in Eau Claire state they responded to the most Wisconsin complaint ever. On Monday night, officers checked on a report of someone chasing a driver down and throwing cheese at their car. Police called the complaint not Gouda, and it's unbelievable that someone would do that. The department ended the post by writing, "Throwing cheese is not your best look, Eau Claire." No, that's not cheesy at all.
No, it's not cheesy at all. That was a police report about cheese that was thrown on somebody's windshield while dealing with some sort of road rage incident, as you heard there. Other things out there that are just quick stories. I thought this was interesting. American pride remains at an all-time record low. That's pride in being from this country, not that other stuff that people talk about sometimes. This isn't all that surprising, and it probably isn't to you any more than it is to me. It is sad, though, and you wonder what the best way to get this to improve is, and it probably has something to do with teaching young people better values than what we have been teaching so far. All right, those are some of the quick stories out there. A lot more coming up. As I said, this is Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Partners over at Black Rifle Coffee, some really good coffee. Veteran-owned, veteran-run. There are a lot of mainstream coffee companies like Starbucks that just can't stand them because they're mainstreaming support for first responders and love for 2A and just good coffee, right? Dedicated to their mission of supporting veteran and first responder causes, they also develop explosive roast profiles, all crafted right here in the U.S. of A, using the finest coffee beans from award-winning farms worldwide. And they roast them in Utah and Tennessee. You got all kinds of choices. Ground, whole bean, K-cup, ready to drink, apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, everything you'd want. You should join, if you haven't already, you should join the Black Rifle Coffee Club because you get your whatever roast you want. You choose how many, your frequency of shipment, and with free shipping, it arrives on your doorstep. And that's saving you money. And you can get 20% with code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com when you go today. So see it for yourself. Blackriflecoffee.com. Order today and get 20% off using code Dana. That's 20% off with code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
Government intervention has ruined yet another industry. After Seattle imposed a minimum wage for delivery drivers, customers, drivers, and restaurants saw less orders and longer wait times. When government messes with the free market, it fails every single time.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Thrilled to be with you. DanaRadio.com is one of the many places you can go to find her. Subscribe to her chapter and verse newsletter, which gets sent out daily. Lots of things out there in the world to discuss. First, let's talk about Project 2025. This is something that comes from the Heritage Foundation. It's something that actually was put out officially by a whole lot of people before Trump even announced that he was running for president. So one of the first things that is interesting about Trump recently saying he doesn't know a whole lot about this, even though Democrats have really focused on it as the way to combat Biden's brain being broken, is to fearmonger about a Project 2025 list of things. And I actually don't think the list is all that bad at all, just personally. But apparently Trump at least thinks that some of it is not all that great. He recently described it as something that was abysmal, certain aspects of it, but that he doesn't know anything about it. And he even wished the people who created it luck, which again is the Heritage Foundation out of D.C. I found that to be very interesting. Trump does have his own agenda, Agenda 47, which you can look into for anything that Trump officially says he's focused on or going to do if he gets back into the White House. But Project 2025, which you might have seen talked about on social media by any sort of far left liberal people you might know in your life, I've seen some posts about it, is trying to essentially blame Trump for its list of ideas. And again, the list of ideas aren't really as bad as they're being portrayed. Granted, it does consolidate a significant amount of power under the president or the presidential role within our government. But in doing that, it's trying to just get rid of bureaucracy, the crap that actually makes our political system so annoying or so politically one-sided. All those career people who work in politics but have never been elected to anything don't really deserve their jobs, according to Project 2025. And I can't completely disagree with that. That doesn't sound all that bad to get rid of a whole lot of the people who have these long-running, ridiculous jobs. People like Dr. Anthony Fauci, for example, or people that might lose their gigs, not specifically, although, of course, he's already gone, but just interesting. And certainly, if you're looking at, say, the Department of Education or something, a whole lot of trimming. Maybe the FBI deals with some trimming. Again, I don't see all that as being as bad as some say it is, but nonetheless, it's not actually a Trump thing. All right, some other stuff out there that I thought was very interesting. First, there was this report from Fox News talking about the amount of money that New York hotels, New York City hotels, have raked in from taxpayers in order to shelter illegal immigrants, illegal aliens, people who are in this country illegally, whatever the term is you want to use for that. Here's just a quick snippet of what Fox said today.
The taxpayer tab for that, $1 billion. So the hotels are making money and we are paying for it all. And there's another statistic that if you break it down per household, $352 per day for New York households.
$352 of taxpayer money a day per household to put people into hotels, pay hotel rates for that decision. And then also, of course, continue to just keep people here that have no legal right to be in this country. That's insane. You know, some people were curious why Trump actually did well in New York while he was stuck dealing with his continued fighting with the judicial system and all the ridiculous sort of attacks on him that now have probably been thrown into significant and I think good jeopardy because of a decision by the Supreme Court. But nonetheless, he pulled a significant audience and he pulled it in a place you wouldn't have expected it in the Bronx in New York, or at least some wouldn't have expected it in. And I think this is why. I think it's a very easy example of when people see that the Democratic positions, even if they're long running in your big city, have failed you specifically. It's taking $300 to $400 out of your pocket a month in taxpayer dollars that aren't going to any other things that, say, some in certain communities advocate for. And I know I personally think that less government is better than more government. But if you're someone that's a hardcore Democratic supporter and you want the government to help you out in as many ways as it can, and all of a sudden you realize someone with no legal status is getting more help than you are, you get mad. You disenfranchise some of the core voters, which is also a big take out there, a big belief that when and if Biden steps back, which seems like it has to happen at some point, but when and if it does happen, the belief is that a lot of people who showed up at those primaries and voted for Biden, the core Democratic voter who showed up even when there was really no other candidate being allowed to run against him, those people will be pretty mad when Biden is not actually the nominee of the Democratic Party. I don't know if I believe that, but I do find it to be an interesting idea that disenfranchising a whole lot of voters is going to be another bad move by the Democratic Party. Again, I'm not sure that I totally believe that because finally, more and more Americans are seeing something that a whole lot of us have known about for much longer because we weren't just sucking our news from all the left-leaning, ridiculously biased places that tell you Biden is fine. You haven't seen it, but behind closed doors, he's doing great. I just find that so interesting that finally more people are being, woken up. I don't know if I want to say that this is a woke thing, But they are. They're being demonstrated. There's finally a demonstration that this is, exactly what we all thought it was for a while. And case in point might be this. So a radio host out of Philly did an interview with Biden and went on CNN to talk about the questions. And what I think is really interesting about this, CNN, friendly organization to somebody on the left, you would think that the question being asked isn't going to hurt you. This individual who answered this question, this radio host, is now out of a job because of what she said. But I think she was actually trying to defend the fact that she didn't ask Biden harder questions, which is kind of hilarious that you accidentally admit to the fact that you allowed the White House to shape your interview with the president because you didn't want to be judged for not giving him anything more challenging to answer. And that has cost you your gig. The radio station said that they want to be an independent and not a one-sided organization. So kudos to them. I don't know if that's true or not, but nonetheless, proud of anybody that can somebody for doing this sort of crap. But here's the back and forth where the big admission was out there that seemed to have cost this woman her job.
You each were, you asked four questions, and maybe that's what you were allowed to ask by the campaign or the White House, but they were essentially the same questions, both interviews, about accomplishments, progress in your respective state, what's at stake in the election, what he has to say about his debate performance, and what he would say to voters who think their vote doesn't matter or might sit this election out. Were those questions given to you by the White House or the campaign, or did you have to submit questions ahead of this interview?
The questions were sent to me for approval.
No.
I approved them.
Okay, so the White House sent the questions to you ahead of the interview?
Yes.
Okay.
I got several questions, eight of them, and the four that were chosen were the ones that I approved.
I love that she said, I got several questions. They had eight different questions I was allowed to ask the president that he was well prepped on. And he swung and missed still in that interview. He called himself the first black female vice president, which was hilarious. And I can play that audio if you want in a little bit. But nonetheless, she basically just admits this, and even CNN is willing to point out the problem.
Okay. And the reason I ask is not a criticism of either of you. It's just that if the White House is trying now to prove the vim, vigor, acuity of the president, I don't know how they do that by sending questions first before the interview so that the president...
I think they're doing that all the time, by the way, and so do you. So do a lot of people, I imagine, out there. I don't think this is a first time. I think this is just one of the only times where someone was stupid enough to say it out loud into a microphone after agreeing to it. And again, that has cost her job. She has decided to resign along with the radio station that said they don't like the accusation of being far left, even though I don't know how you avoid that when your host pretty willingly says, oh, that'll be fine. I'll go ahead and ask these questions. And I won't ask these other four. Out of all the questions that you could have asked him, you got eight to choose from. Another thing out there that I thought was interesting, just as far as how the president very much has been saying that he doesn't think his base will run away from him. That's something that has been put out there a few times over the last few days. It seems like just maybe that's not exactly accurate. Let's play a little bit of audio again from CNN, actually admitting to some of this stuff as well. And again, you know, it's actually bad. Like it can't be avoided when CNN is doing this much of, hey, stuff's not good for us on this side.
Point. I will end on this point, Jim. There are voters in the electorate who have never seen a Republican presidential candidate leading in the polls at this point. But those voters, those young voters, are seeing one right now in Donald Trump.
Also, you know what's really interesting about that accidental admission? And the claim is that even in 2016, whenever any of these young voters might have even potentially started to pay attention to politics, Trump wasn't leading until he, won the election, is how crap sometimes polls can be for the Republican side of the aisle. It's not necessarily that polls are crap on both sides, which is something that Biden has been saying a lot now, but polls seem to disproportionately demonstrate a strength in one side and a lack of strength in the other side, which we can all guess as to why that is, why that's occurring. But nonetheless, I find that very interesting that they say, you know, no young voter has ever seen a Republican do this well this early, and it's probably bad. By the way, one other piece of audio I want to play, and this is from the viral call-in to Morning Joe by our president this morning. He tried to take a shot at Trump early on because last week there was a controversy And I call it a controversy, even though I absolutely don't think of it as any sort of controversy whatsoever, where Trump was caught on a camera at a golf course saying that Biden is, well, crap as far as a president goes, and that Kamala is also really bleeping bad. These are just real takes of a real person. A lot of people would say that Trump said it. Whether or not that camera was even actually something he didn't know about, I have no idea. I don't really care. But it wasn't a real controversy. It was just a guy saying accurate things. Kamala is not good at her job. She is not popular. Somehow she's less popular than a guy whose brain doesn't work and hasn't worked for a while. But nonetheless, Joe tried to take a shot at Trump in the golf cart. And this is exactly what that sounded like and why he's doing so terrible in all of these polls or with even his base of quote unquote supporters.
I'm curious, is that an allusion also to Donald Trump and the fact that Democrats, you believe, may now be doing the same thing that Donald Trump tried to do in 2020, and that is overthrow the popular will of Democratic voters?
Well, look, Democrat, Joe, let me say it this way.
Okay.
The reason I've been on the road so much all over the country, and while Trump is riding around in a golf cart, filling out his golf cart before golf cart before he even hits the ball. But anyway, he hadn't been.
What? Why did you say golf cart so many times, sir? What happened to you there? Here, I'll play this one more time. This is the mental acuity of the person in charge of the country, someone who probably shouldn't be in charge tomorrow, much less for the next 4 years.
I believe may now be doing the same thing that Donald Trump tried to do in 2020, and that is overthrow the popular will of Democratic voters.
Well, look, Democrat, Joe, let me say it this way. The reason I've been on the road so much all over the country, and while Trump is riding around in a golf cart, filling out his golf cart before golf cart before he even hits the ball. But anyway.
What? You would stand there and hear this from like a loved one and immediately call some sort of doctor. His golf cart with the golf and the cart. He's doing the stuff. And then he swings and he hits the ball. Way to go, sir. I wonder how anyone that works with this president right now in this administration tells him, you know, he did a good job. How can you do it after he does these interviews and says these things? How do you get off and be like, oh, great, sir. You really restored faith in you. Now things are way better. Promise they are. All right. Quick break. A lot more. It's Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that what I can while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Dana Show, DanaRadio.com, a great way to stay connected to all things Dana Lash or D Lash and Dana Lash Radio, both places on X on Twitter that you can follow her. Boeing has agreed to plead guilty in order to avoid a actual criminal trial, a felony criminal charge for defrauding the United States government, which is what it chose not to go through. Instead, it's going to pay about $250 million, a little less than that, in fines, something it did back in 2021 in a settlement with the Justice Department. It's doing this again instead of actually willingly demonstrating to us just how bad things were at Boeing. I thought that was really interesting that they're going to plead guilty to a lesser charge in a plea deal that we shouldn't be offering them. We should be investigating Boeing to the fullest to understand what the heck is going on there, because it's relevant to a whole lot of Americans. But of course, politicians aren't going to do the things that benefit us. Why would they ever do that? That's one story out there I thought was interesting. Another one, this is ridiculous. And I remember talking about this, I think, filling in for Dana before and some other places I do some radio stuff. Radio Craig C, if you want to follow me on anything, Facebook, Twitter, all this stuff, I'm on there. I barely tweet, but Radio Craig C, again, is the way to find me. The world's first Miss AI was crowned. This is a competition that they were talking about on the internet. No one real was actually a part of this. It was all artificially intelligence created fake women who are influencers on social media now. The person, non-person, the robot that won, that's the right way to say it, is genuinely excited for her win, according to the people that made her. She is, quote unquote, from Morocco. Again, not real. She wears a hijab and she's an activist of quite a few different things. Apparently, one of them being robot-human relations, which scares me. That's actually a terrifying thing. Also, of course, climate change and a bunch of other stuff that she advocates for, and all of the very woke, very far-left people who seem to vote on this, who are also social media influencers and, in fact, real people, loved her message, not just her fake good looks. She does apparently score well in how good looking she pretend is. I don't know how to say that different. It's ridiculous. But yes, a fake activist has won a fake award for fake people. That's a real thing I just said to you. Speaking of robots real quick, too, China is set to release a, quote, killer robot that will be capable of fighting in conflicts within the next 2 years. China is working hard at finding something that's not necessarily a drone, but some sort of land-walking version of a humanoid robot thing that is also terrifying. This feels like the end of days. I feel like Terminator 2 is just months or maybe a year or two away at this point, as we have artificial intelligence-created women winning stuff and then killer robots potentially on the battlefield. Good luck to us. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
People who help bring you free radio. It's the folks over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. Patriot Mobile wants to save you money, and they also create and maintain by working with Patriot Mobile, by having them as your cell phone service provider. You're maintaining and creating U.S.-based jobs. They have a 100% U.S.-based team. They're going to find the perfect plan for your needs. It doesn't matter how big your family is, small your family is, singles, couples, empty nesters, businesses of all sizes, they have something that is for you, and you get reliable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. So you get the same great service, but without funding the left. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get that free activation. Make the switch today. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A bunch of stuff to talk about. Follow Dana on iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. The Audacity app is a great way to listen to her live. And also D-Lash or Dana Lash Radio on Twitter. Other ways to stay connected to her and DanaRadio.com. All right. There's a lot of Biden stuff out there today. A part of me feels like if you've been listening to a certain side of the political aisle, or what it sometimes is much more honest versions of discussing the current president, then you already know all this stuff. I feel like a lot of it's repetitive. And yet so much more is now out there with legacy media or whatever version of left-leaning media you want to call it, that it seems as though it's almost intentional. It seems like the Democratic Party has decided they need to sabotage Biden. Even his letter that came out today that defiantly says he's staying in the race seems to be him now standing up against the political machine on the Democratic side. And Bernie Sanders can tell you that doesn't work out. When you stand up to that machine, the machine churns you out. So it seems as though sabotage or sabotage is now what's actually happening out of Biden on an almost daily basis. He is swinging and missing more because I don't think he's being protected. One of the funnier moments that happened recently is this. Biden went to another black church. He's trying to demonstrate his strength with black voters. And even if he holds a majority in any sort of polling, the significance of Donald Trump and his appeal to the black voter is huge. It's the biggest the Republican Party has seen in a long, long time. And part of that might actually be a connection being made between that group of voters and Trump's legal fights and how wrong he says they are, how unfair he says they are. It's so interesting that a Democratic issue might be propping up the support for the Republican candidate for president by a group that has long voted Democratically. But here, this is a moment where a pastor in a black church tries to describe Biden's handicaps as things that God himself will help Biden use in a way that helps him win, his handicap being that his brain is not functioning. Here we go.
A bumper sticker on a senior citizen's car that said, "I may be slow, but I'm in front of you." Use our president. Use his experience. Use his handicaps and be glorified in his life. In Jesus' name.
Yeah, look, if I was actually, and I'm a Catholic, by the way, so if I was actually praying for Biden, I think the only thing you'd be praying for him is to go away for his own health, to benefit him. I know that some people have the take out there that trotting him out there and forcing him to keep running is elder abuse. I think the Democratic Party is very much interested now removing him from his position and going to let him stumble and fall until he finally accepts, or well, I should say, Hunter and Dr. Jill, Dr. Biden, because we have to make sure to mention she's a doctor seven times, although she's not a doctor of anything medical. But nonetheless, as you can tell, actually, by how poorly Biden is taken care of right now. But nonetheless, when they finally decide that Biden needs to step down, maybe he will. At this church, Biden also said this, which was odd and made no sense, which is something you get every day if you want it.
And I want to thank you for, you know, I said, Bishop, it's good to be home. Please sit down.
What did he say? You want to one more pass at that? I want to thank somebody for anyway. Let's start over again. Try this one more time. And I'm happy to be home.
And I want to thank you for, you know, I said, Bishop, it's good to be home. Please sit down.
Yeah, everybody, please sit down. I've got a lot of stuff to say and none of it's going to make any sense. And good luck to anyone that's attending this thing. I just don't understand. Like, over the weekend, Biden did a few appearances, and every single appearance, every single moment has audio and things that I can play to show how terrible he is at being our president or a person that says words out loud. This is another moment of that. He claimed that Philadelphia has long helped him in any sort of campaign he's had when he ran for Senate. He specifically said Senate. The only problem with that is Philadelphia could not have helped him become a senator in Delaware. That's the only issue with what Biden said here. Here we go.
But look, even when I was running for Senate, each time I ran, quite frankly, not a joke, Philadelphia in particular, got me across the line.
I'll stop. I love how much people start to like stupidly applaud that too, by the way. Like, yeah, we helped him win his senatorship, which was not in our state at all and not something we're supposed to be voting on. If they helped in some way, that's an admission of some illegal doing, some wrongdoing, some other stuff. All right. Another thing out there that's very interesting is the idea that right now the Democratic Party is actually succeeding in its all along plan. It sounds like a conspiracy hat theory thing. It sounds like I'm tinfoil hatting this, but I kind of love this take out there. The idea being that when and if more information comes out that damages the Biden family further in just how corrupt and bad things have gone and how much Hunter Biden has done behind the scenes in very illegal ways and all the different accounts that money has been put into, including direct deposits to the now president of the United States when he was, I guess, not in office. I mean, if you're so lazy that you allow for even a couple direct deposits from a Hunter Biden-owned company to Joe Biden, you definitely have some issues. And that's a real thing. You can look it up if you don't believe it. But nonetheless, what I think is interesting is that once Kamala becomes the president, if she does assume power before the 2024 election actually occurs and before the choice is made for who the next president would be, she can immediately pardon Biden and his family for anything they've done that's wrong without it being the president himself right now pardoning his son. I do find that to be an interesting idea, an interesting thought out there. Kamala would also be a DEI hire for president, as the New York Post has said, something that made a whole lot of people mad, but something that nonetheless is actually true by the own admission of that side of the aisle when they talked about in 2020, making sure to pick a black woman as the vice presidential candidate. All right, let's move on. Other stuff out there. The Supreme Court's immunity decision has really caused a lot of issues, at least for those that were going after Trump in any sort of legal proceeding, specifically New York. I found that to be the most interesting, that New York has punted a little bit, deciding not to actually sentence Trump for what they said he did wrong, which they claimed was a felony, which to most people was a misdemeanor that was past the statute of limitations. But I digress. They've now punted, and Judge Juan Marchan is going to decide on this, I think, in September, and probably even later than that. Who knows? But the impact that the immunity case will have, and presidential actions are immune from any sort of attack by a courtroom. And honestly, you know what's even funnier about that? Just real quick to back up for a second. I saw a whole lot of takes after that Supreme Court ruling that claimed that whoever the president is, not just Trump, but anyone, is essentially now being anointed a king in our society. And what's so amusing about that idea to me is that you still have impeachment as a process that exists as far as checks and balances go. And you still assume, and maybe some people don't, they doubt the ability for politicians to do this, that if, say, a president decided to murder his political rival, that's the most often example given, that most politicians on both sides of the aisle would decide that's an impeachable offense, that's not within presidential powers, and that would cause someone to get thrown in jail. All those things are things that I hope are still true about our society, about the push by the American people to demand some sort of actual, you know, human behavior from Washington, if anything as crazy as that ever to occur in this country. But that's usually what the discussion is. But nonetheless, now most of these cases against Trump seem to have one or, say, several challenges because you can't go after a guy who wasn't even impeached. You can't go after a guy who wasn't found. And I know people are going to say, well, the House impeached him. He was never removed from power. All those things are the more typical way to go about this. And the Supreme Court hasn't touched any of them. To be honest, you know what I love more than anything else? Just quickly talking about Supreme Court decisions. There have been a crap ton of Democratic calls for, I want this to happen, that to happen, that the Supreme Court has decided to agree with. Even calls in the world of gun rights. Out of Illinois, and then I think there's also a national case, the Supreme Court rejected to see those. They want them to be more refined, and I think at some point those cases will wind up in front of the Supreme Court. For example, Illinois has a new restriction on what they call weapons of war or assault weapons or what is very stupid terms used for things that are not automatic rifles. An AR-15 is not, in fact, an automatic weapon, no matter how many people seem to think it is. Nonetheless, the Supreme Court punted. It didn't take those cases. And there are several other decisions that Democrats have praised, some of which have even worked in Biden's favor. None of those get talked about. The only thing that gets talked about that's a Supreme Court decision is something that appears to be right-leaning. And then it's also overly simplified by news media to convince you it's even worse than it is. Take the abortion decision, for example. The Supreme Court did not ban abortion at a federal level, and yet you probably know people that still think that and still say that, like, oh, the Supreme Court, terrible. They did this horrible thing that they didn't do. The same is true for deciding that all presidents have a certain amount of immunity that is evidently something the founding fathers wanted. What's so interesting about that, too, just real quick before I take a break, is that in more plain terms, it is outlined what kind of immunity other politicians have to judicial attacks while in office, including Congress, including our Senate and our House. And so I thought it was interesting that the only way to try to undercut whether or not the president himself also enjoys certain immunities is to say it's not as specific. To say anything within the Constitution is actually a little more vague. And I think the reason for that, and I don't actually think it's as vague as some other people do, is the founding fathers probably assumed that if they outlined how all these other politicians had more specific immunities, that no one would think the president had less. that you would think the president would always have more immunity from the other branches of government, at least in how he behaves as far as executing his job, because you need that. You can't devalue the presidency to the degree that you can't do anything because someone's going to go after you. And you also know that once a political game works, it gets done again and again and again. So without the Supreme Court ruling from the other week, we would have just seen mass versions of every politician being dragged in a courtroom and tried for something, which I wouldn't actually hate to see, as long as a whole lot of them wound up being proven guilty of these things that I think, and you probably think, a lot of them are doing. But nonetheless, it essentially prevented that, both of us using the same game thing that you see in politics all the time, which helps Democrats way more than they want to admit. And yet it's painted as this horrible, terrible thing the Supreme Court did to help Trump, especially since a lot of these cases against him now seem to have major issues. All right, we'll take a break. A lot coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
As we move partners for this portion of our program, ReadyWise, I feel like some of the people in the White House are going to need this because they're going to have to hole up like indefinitely at this point. You don't need a disaster to prepare for major emergencies. I mean, if you're preparing after a disaster, it's too late, guys. It's too late. I mean, you're not going to want to deal with the stripped store shelves, the crowds, the craziness. You will have with ReadyWise your top quality food whenever you need it. You just got to order from ReadyWise. And when you use promo code DANA20, they're going to give you 20% off any of their regularly priced items. Only at ReadyWise.com, promo code DANA20. And all of their food is made with high quality U.S. ingredients. Freeze-dried, dehydrated, no refrigeration required, easy to prepare. Just add water and you got a 25-year shelf life as well. The time to prepare is now. Visit ReadyWise.com. Use code DANA20. Save 20% off of any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com. Code DANA20.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Let's try to do a rapid fire quick five.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
There's a crazy story out there. I think this is out of Tennessee about a U.S. Navy veteran who's been told he's not an American, even though he is, and he fought for our country. He's in his 70s. He was a truck driver for a very long time, too. They took his license away. Look, I'm all for making sure that citizens have rights and people who are here illegally do not have rights. But when the government screws up for something as embarrassing as this, you need to fix it and fix it quick. It's been reported on quite a few different places. But Tennessee has a U.S. Navy veteran who has been told that he's not a citizen, and he can prove that that's wrong. By the way, this just made me quickly think of a buddy of mine that's a huge fan of Dana's show. He's a Navy guy, too. His name is M.T. Reagan. He's actually undergoing surgery for some stuff, and I just want to wish him well, and I'm sure he'll be thrilled to hear that on this show that he's such a big fan of. But M.T. Reagan, hopefully things are going great for you, a Navy dude, friend of mine. Other stuff out there as far as Quick Five goes, Danny Trejo, the actor, was in a brawl on the 4th of July that started because of a water balloon that somebody chose to throw at the guy. He's 80, but he usually plays a character that's fairly intimidating in any movie he's in. So I would think that out of all the 80-year-old actors, Danny Trejo is the wrong dude to throw a water balloon at. Here's a little bit of the audio of them talking about this.
I'm so sad that I behave the way I behave. I'm so sad that grown men got to throw water balloons. I don't think I would have even got out of the car if somebody hadn't yelled, "It's acid." Yeah. I immediately got out to look at the hood, and then when I got out of the car, I looked, boom, and a balloon hit me, and then I looked up and I see a guy. I don't know what in the hell is wrong with you. So when he grabbed me, I stepped back and I fell off the curb. I'm sad. Yeah. I'm just sad that there's still people like from the 50s and 60s that still feel the same way because no one else was targeted.
Come on, you got a classic lowrider in a parade. Yeah. That's the last thing you want is to get water on it.
I would be embarrassed. I attacked an 80-year-old man, and he's still talking and laughing.
Yes. Yeah, I would be embarrassed, too. But Danny Trejo is the unique exception to that rule. One last thing. NASCAR has unveiled an electric vehicle that has no engine roar, which means that it's boring and dumb. And I don't want to see that one on a track anytime soon without at least a fake version of an engine. Because where's the fun in that, man? Silent NASCAR? Terrible. All right. Quick break. A lot coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show right here. More talking about Biden, of course, and his mental inability coming up next. And then also a sustainability queen that's being praised online for getting trash toys that she gives to her children. That's a real story. I'll explain more about it in just a bit.
I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, "I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies." Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that, what I can, while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it is hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. You can find Dana everywhere. DanaRadio.com is a great way to go. DLash or at Dana Lash Radio on Twitter, on X. Great ways to find her. So many places out there. I'm Radio Craig C. If you want to find me anywhere, Facebook, probably the best place to find me still. But anyway, lots of things to discuss. Let's do this first. Let's talk about an article in CNN Politics that is discussing how Donald Trump is not actually the focal point of most news media right now. It's President Biden and his brain being broken, and something that a whole lot of people have known for quite a long time. But I do find that interesting. Trump has made a few less appearances than he normally does. Not that he's hiding. I think at some point when you watch someone failing and you see them trying to grasp at straws to find ways to dig themselves out of their failure, you just sit back and watch. You let it occur for a little bit. But over the next 10 days, Trump will announce a running mate. He'll kick off the Republican convention in Milwaukee. He'll do a bunch of things, have campaign rallies. And I thought that was interesting because even as Biden is out there trying to tell George Stephanopoulos or anyone that he's a great candidate to choose, the popularity of Trump is even something that some in media are willing to admit, ABC among them. I thought that was an interesting back and forth with the much talked about late night aired interview between Biden and ABC News, in which he said, "Look at all the crowds I pull in." And even George is like, "It's not the same as Trump. You don't really want to go down that road, sir." When comparing the two of you, here we go.
What's your plan to turn the campaign around?
You saw it today. How many people do you get and draw crowds like I do today? You find me more enthusiastic than today? Huh?
I mean, I don't think you want to play the crowd game. Donald Trump can draw big crowds. There's no question about that.
Much, much larger than you can,
draw
sir.
Draw a big crowd, but what does he say? Who does he have?
I love that when the brain is like, oh, yeah, well, fine. He can draw a big crowd, but what does he actually say that maybe people support and like? Desperation. All right, there is other stuff out there. There's one thing that really, really amused me today, and actually a whole lot of social media is comparing it to something that Dwight Schrute did on an episode of The Office. But a person who is actually a leader in the National Education Association, she is in fact the president of said association, just went nuts all over a speech she gave a few days ago. Becky Pringle is her name. As I said, the president of the NEA. I have this audio. I think it's amazing. You decide if you think it's as awesome as I do. I don't even know what she's saying. I just know she's definitely unhinged at this point.
NEA delegates, we can do this work. We must do this work. We get to do this work. We will do this work because our students are depending on us to win all the things. NEA, we have to win all the things. All the things.
What is happening? All right, there's like 30 more seconds of this, but that's full-on insanity. We have to win all the things is truthfully something that someone yelled out into a microphone during an education speech, which to me is hilarious on several fronts. But as I said, it's being compared to Dwight giving his speech at a, I think, sales convention on the fake show or the humor show, The Office, the comedy show. And that's not a good look when you are doing something very similar to what one of the more ridiculous characters on a ridiculous show did. You're probably not winning stuff. And just in case anybody is curious if they really do sound similar, I have some of Dwight. So why don't we play some of Dwight's speech to salespeople in the television show The Office.
Some people will tell you salesman is a bad word. They'll conjure up images of used car dealers.
How dare they?
And door-to-door charlatans. This is our duty to change their perception. I say, salesmen and women of the world, unite. We must never acquiesce, for it is together. Together that we prevail.
He's yelling, he's screaming, he's banging the podium. It sounds very similar to this lady. Let's get a little more from Becky Pringle.
Our colleagues are depending on us to win all the things. Keep going, NEA.
Keep
to preserve
going.
Our democracy, we must win all the things. Delegates, we won't go back. We will keep going forward because we are the NEA. We are the NEA. We are the NEA.
I don't know what's happening there. You know, it's funny, actually. Oftentimes, Trump is said to be somebody that's fueled by a crowd that'll make him act a certain way. A speech-giving Trump is different than other versions of Trump. This woman, I have no idea how she reacts in her everyday life to stuff. I hope it's similar to that, but I'm assuming it's not. I'm assuming she was fueled by something or maybe several things. Maybe they gave her the Biden shot before she gave that speech, and things just went off the rails quickly. All right, going back to Biden, and to be honest, and I don't know how to say this in a better way. Like, every time I say this, I almost feel bad saying it, but I'm a little bored at how dumb our president is at this point, at how obvious it is that he should not be in control of anything. He should be eating ice cream and staying at home. That would be good for him, and he'd be a fan of that too, by the way. And the only reason I'm bored about this is many of us have been talking about this for years, and then they rolled out the you know, cheap fake or whatever the crap it was they said that thing is, when you see a real video of the president seeming to act as though he has no idea what's going on. And they said that's just edited unfairly, that a longer form version would make him make more sense. And it's never true. But nonetheless, you have these interviews that he's done with George Stephanopoulos. He called in to Morning Joe to talk to them. They asked him some technically hard questions, although they do it very apologetically, as did George. But these are questions that you have to ask now because it's too apparent that he's just not all there. Here's one of the back and forths where Mika said, hey, have you been tested for any age-related issues that we all kind of see happening?
Have you been tested for any age-related illnesses, pre-Parkinson's or anything like that, that might explain sort of having a night like that where you couldn't finish sentences?
Look, I had before, I was feeling so badly before the debate. When I came back, they tested me before. I thought maybe I had COVID, maybe there was something wrong. I had an infection or something. They tested me. They gave me those tests. I was clear. So, but look, I had a bad night. But the fact of the matter is, look at what I'm doing. I mean, let me put it this way. If there was something that was wrong that night, it's not like it comes in that's one night and goes away. That's why I've been out. I've been testing myself.
You've been out and you've been embarrassing yourself still. By the way, he wanted to compare himself to Trump in the middle of that. I don't know if you noticed it, because that's actually the most coached version of a way to discuss anything. Don't accept any of my flaws or discuss them for that long. Let's just go ahead and say what everybody thinks the negatives are about Trump, even if that's just his political side of the aisle. And it seems less and less people all the time. But nonetheless, let's just go that way instead of our way. I want to point that out again, that he tried to shift away from himself before his brain was like, no, maybe I should keep saying stuff about me.
At me before, I thought maybe I had COVID, maybe there was something wrong. I had an infection or something. They tested me. They gave me those tests. I was clear. So, but look, I had a bad night. But the fact of the matter is, look at what I'm doing. I mean, let me put it this way. If there was something that was wrong that night,
yeah,
it's not like it comes in that.
He wanted to say, look at who I'm up against or look at who I'm dealing with or something to that effect. And then he goes, you know what? No, I don't want to highlight Trump right now. Because Trump is oddly not in the spotlight, something that he often is. But media has created its own problem here with Biden by denying something that everyone knew was absolutely happening. And we could all see very easily for quite some time now. And now media has to somehow pretend that this is brand new, that Biden has just recently took a turn for the worse and is starting to behave more like a senile, older guy who's not all there anymore. Even if that's something that's been going on for a while. All right. One other thing out there that's being discussed, and it's interesting because it's on the heels of something that happened in the UK last week, but France and their elections and some of the decision making that has swung from, say, maybe more right leaning politics to more far left, radical leaning politics. The UK is a really interesting example to me, and I'll tell you why. And I was talking about this a little bit last week, too, when this all happened. Not that that matters to you. I don't know why I mentioned it, but I have been. I'm probably just not shutting up on this issue. Over the last 20 years, England has seen the largest influx of people that are not born in that country moving to that country. They're migrating there in the last 20 years. And the UK has been a place that's been sort of consistently more on the conservative side politically. And they just had a huge win for the far left there, or for the, you know, crazier pieces of agenda that exist in the more socialist version of discussions. And there's no way that you can say that it isn't somewhat tied to the voting bloc that has migrated there over the last 20 years. They have seen a vast majority of the people who are currently there living legally, I should say, in that period of time. And so when someone says that the great replacement theory is such an inappropriate thing to talk about, it's baked in racism, it's inherently evil or horrible, or, you know, the unhinged far right discuss this, you just have to look at examples in other countries where people have moved somewhere and tremendously impacted the way in which that place typically votes, or that country typically votes, as far as if it's right or left leaning. And then it becomes very apparent. And whether it's replacing a, you know, a white voter in the United States, or a black voter, or any other voter with someone who's not a citizen of our country, or someone who hasn't lived here for very long at all, it becomes obvious that this is, in fact, a playbook move by the Democratic Party. And it's happening other places. And you've been seeing it have certain levels of success in other parts of the world. So I just don't understand why people yell and scream about how dare somebody say out loud that this replacement theory, if that's even what you want to call it, idea is somehow inherently evil and terrible and racist, when the reality is that it's very easy to prove it's effective. And if you're the Democratic Party, you want it to continue. You want places like Texas to change how they vote reliably. That would be a great win for Democrats. You want to see that happen. You don't want to see them continue to vote the way in which they often vote. Arizona, of course, a swing state in general, is a place you'd love to see change. Essentially, most of the border is places where the Democrats would love to see some more support emerge all of a sudden. And they preach all the time being the party of the woke, or the party that actually helps minorities more, whether or not that's even true, whether or not most people did better, all people essentially did better when Trump was president than when Biden was. That part doesn't matter. Screw that. Leave that out. But I just think it's so interesting. France is the latest news story today, and the decisions they're making politically. It's much more of a mixed bag than it was in the UK, and then obviously we hope it is here in the United States. But a large reason for some of that changing demographic is literally the changing of the people that live certain places. And so I just don't know. I remember Tucker Carlson would get accused all the time of talking about great replacement theory without even using that term, or even fully, I think, advocating for the totality of the ideas within whatever that actually means to some people, but simply saying that Democrats are trying to change the way America votes by taking a whole bunch of illegal people into the country and giving them access to voting. I know Chip Roy is actually uniquely fighting that too, which is awesome and very, very important. You need to stop people who don't have the right to vote from voting. That should be a very basic tenet of our country. And yet it seems like it's controversial to some. But nonetheless, I just find that interesting. So whatever the other country is that's in the news for the way they're voting, you're seeing it played out in front of you, what the plan is here and how it's effective. All right, quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Folks over at Kel-Tec, awesome firearms company founded in Florida in 1991, and they make boomsticks, very innovative boomsticks, quality-made boomsticks, family-owned and operated, and they share your values as well over at Kel-Tec. Now, they've got all kinds of firearms. We've been talking about the Sub-2 Cajun 3 for months now, and it's continuing the mission of the game-changing innovation and performance. The Sub-2 Cajun 3 Light Foldable Effective. And it features everything from reconfigured action, got a redesigned operating handle for added comfort, lightened action, easy racking, light and 5-pound trigger pull, ambidextrous bolt hold open as well, all providing improved manipulation. And Kel-Tec family-owned values at their best. See everything that Kel-Tec has to offer for yourself. See the Sub-2 Cajun 3 where you don't have to detach your optics to fold it in half, saving some space. You do with the other ones. See it for yourself at KeltecWeapons.com. And be sure to follow them on social media. That way you can be up to date with all the latest info. KeltecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Find Dana everywhere. Dana Lash or Dana Lash Radio on X on Twitter. Time for Florida Man.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Several Florida men out there in the news, and actually Florida ladies, too. We're doing both sides. First, I thought this was interesting. A Florida man went viral on the internet for getting an alligator to open a can of beer. The guy put his hand into the water, tapped on it, so an alligator would swim up to him. He was with his buddies. All you hear is bad language and cheering, so I'm not going to play the audio. But he stuck the can of beer in the alligator's face, and it opened the beer and then tried to eat him and swung and missed. And he was apparently very happy about that. At some point, I think that some alligator is going to get a little luckier and that guy's going to get a little less lucky if he keeps doing it. But there's no more Florida man story than Florida guy opening a beer by using an alligator for whatever reason. There's also this story about a dude who had a bad firework experience, which I imagine is a very common thing that happens a whole lot for these types of people that go viral, especially out of Florida. The dude is okay. I guess he said he almost lost his hand. He chipped a tooth. His wrist is broken. His palm is fractured. A bunch of bad stuff, but nothing permanent. What I thought was really interesting, though, is Jacksonville's local TV station did a story about how he's a hero now because he's warning other people about the dangers of fireworks, something that feels like you only really need that warning in a place like Florida. Most of us know they're dangerous. Here's a little bit of that news report.
The man who I spoke with is currently in Gainesville as doctors are trying to save his hand. Firefighters say even though it's after July 4th, people are still going to be lighting those fireworks off, and they have simple warnings for people who are going to do so.
It was crazy because I seen it on the news the other day about you guys sharing about the safety of fireworks, and it's so crazy, a blink of an eye, it happened to me.
I'll stop it right there. The blink of an eye, it happened to him. Don't hold fireworks in your hands is one thing I can say out there. The guy is lucky that his hand is still intact, which is a good thing, of course. And then, as I said, a Florida woman out there in the news, too. A Florida woman allegedly used a, quote, large magnet she got off of Amazon to steal clothing and other stuff from brick and mortar stores. She was only caught because she was pulled over while doing illegal stuff on a moped with a friend. And then in her bag, police found a whole bunch of clothing that still had little devices on them. Large magnet from Amazon helped a woman steal stuff in Florida. That's Florida Man and Woman News. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show. This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Thrilled to be with you. You can find Dana everywhere. Rumble, Facebook, YouTube. She's live. Audacity app every day from 12 to 3 Eastern. Subscribe to her podcast, iTunes, wherever you get them. Dana Radio, too. Radio Craig C. for me, if anyone wants to follow me on social media. Facebook is probably where I'm most active for whatever reason. All right, some other things out there that I've seen. Benjamin Netanyahu is in the news because apparently it's now his fault, according to some, that there may be less likelihood of an agreement between Hamas and Israel as far as a hostage deal or some sort of temporary ceasefire is concerned. Here's the thing, though. I saw that all four of the demands of Netanyahu went viral. And these are quote unquote, the new things or the things that he's asking for that Hamas, the terrorist group, is unwilling to say yes to. Let's just see quickly how you feel about them. Any deal would allow Israel to resume fighting until all objectives of the war have been achieved. That means ending Hamas, them no longer being a threat, because their stated goal, their actual mission as an organization, is to kill everyone in Israel, to kill all Jewish people, to actually kill Americans, too, by the way. Even as young people still protest and do whatever, or I saw protests that went on in big cities throughout the 4th of July, which were embarrassing for our country to watch young people burn flags and other stuff. Although who knows how many of those people are even from this country? I genuinely ask that because sometimes when you see and hear people speaking, it seems like they're not from here. But nonetheless, that's one objective. He wants to make sure that he can actually still win that fight. He also wants to make sure that no weapons are smuggled from Egypt to Hamas over the Gaza border. That seems like a rational expectation. There will be no return of thousands of armed terrorists to the northern Gaza Strip. These are people that Hamas has demanded Israel free. They're not freeing them. And there are other people who have been displaced that might want to get back into the Gaza area who are, in fact, terrorists. I think I agree with that as well. And then finally, Israel would maximize the number of living hostages who are released from Hamas captivity. Those hostages have actually been held for 9 months now. That is the most of very rational requirements that I can think of. Any country would ask for the safe return of any of their people that are still there. And one of the scary reasons that people think that that's not happening is because there might not be very many hostages that are still alive. But nonetheless, those are the requirements that you're going to hear in media some places as being too strong, too extreme for Hamas to agree to them, a terrorist organization, as I say it again. All right, other stuff out there in the news. This broke earlier today. A Parkinson's doctor apparently visited the White House 10 times and spoke with other medical experts, most often visiting the White House medical unit. This is what visitor logs have shown. Here's the thing about this. This started happening in November of 2022. So anytime that media tells you that they're brand new to the idea that Biden is not mentally capable or that, you know, he's been protected and all of this has been shrouded in secrecy. And just now, finally, media, which is irate. I actually read one description that says the press corps are irate at the White House for not giving more time between Biden and press. This has been going on since he was first in this office. But again, these things were out there. You could go find it. But a neurologist, a movement disorder specialist, has visited Walter Reed National Medical Military Medical Center on at least 12 occasions, probably more. It's just crazy to see this, or 10 occasions, excuse me, because again, it's absolutely ridiculous to listen to anyone say that what Biden is going through is something that's new. And actually, you know what? I'll play something else. ABC News changed their official transcript of the Biden interview because one moment was getting a unique amount of attention online where Biden said the word goodest, not exactly a word. That's been changed in the official transcript. I'll go ahead and play you the audio so you decide if the president spoke this or not. But how petty and how interesting for the White House to be this obsessed now with any sort of public display of stupidity from our current president that they'd even want to change this. And again, it's actually something that aired. So you have the official version of audio video to play anytime someone tells you it's not something that the president said.
Mr. President, I've never seen a president 36% approval get reelected.
Well, I don't believe that's my approval. That's not what our polls show.
So you're also doubting all the polling, which is something that other people do on occasion, but you tell us the truth and those people lie.
And if you stay in and Trump is elected and everything you're warning about comes to pass, how will you feel in January?
I feel as long as I gave it my all and I did the goodest job as I know I can do.
And I did the goodest job that I know I can do. Then everything's fine. I'll play that again for you. ABC has officially changed the transcript to not say the word goodest.
As long as I gave it my all and I did the goodest job as I know I can do. That's what this is about.
That's what this is about. Me doing the goodest that I can goodly do with my goodernesses. I can't help it. But again, how petty. Like, out of all the things you'd want to correct that Biden said or did, I feel like that's at the lower end of the list of getting that word wrong, as opposed to the massive amount of other things that have been swings and misses. But darn it, they got that one. They had ABC play along. Also, Whoopi Goldberg is going viral from The View because of what she said about when she actually would stop voting for Biden, when he would lose her support. And it's weird. This rant is odd for a couple reasons. I think probably the biggest reason it's odd is, and you probably know someone like this in your life, that just refuses to ever change their opinion. Well, you probably know a lot of people like this in your life, refuse to do it no matter what information you present to them, no matter how much of their stated facts you can disprove. Tucker Carlson actually said this just before getting fired from Fox News, which I thought was pretty interesting, in a speech he gave, that in his career, he had tried mustering more facts than the people he was arguing with, and it never did anything to convince them that their position was wrong. That's an interesting thing to hear from a guy that's been a lot of places in the world of media. But here is Whoopi saying that it doesn't matter what happens. The president has got her vote, even if he's pooping himself. I'm not making it up. She said it. Here we go.
I'm just going to add my 2 cents because I wasn't here on the day that y'all talked about it.
Well, thank God.
I don't care if he's pooped his pants. I don't care if he can't put a sentence together. Show me he can't do the job, and then I'll say, okay, maybe it's time to go. Now, he had a bad night the first time that he went out and debated with Kamala Harris. And everybody wanted him to quit then, say, you can't talk to women like this, or you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong. He came back, said, you know what, I got it, and gave 4 years. So, yeah. I have poopy days all the time. I step in so much poo you can't even imagine.
I don't understand where the win is there. And by the way, I have another kind of reaction to this. So the basic premise of what Whoopi or anyone on the left is going to say is it doesn't matter how embarrassing Biden is publicly. It doesn't matter if he looks like an idiot, if he faces the opposite direction of all the other world leaders. And then news media has to make the excuse that, hey, there were people where Biden was looking. There wasn't no one over there, even though he was evidently the only person going the way he was going. And there's so many of those. But so the basic premise is, if the job is done well to their side of the political aisle, then Biden is a worthwhile candidate to vote into office. You know what's so fascinating about that idea? Trump is someone that the left will scream and yell about how he behaves publicly, if he offends people, if he puts out mean tweets into the world, whatever he does that they don't like, that they say is unpresidential. I would think that pooping yourself is something that's not exactly presidential in nature, not something we'd be proud of. And yet the most basic element of why some people will acknowledge that, hey, Trump has said some things that I wouldn't have said if I was running for an office or out in public in general, but I still want to vote for him because of how good of a job he did when he was in the office. That's exactly the argument Democrats are now trying to use for a person whose brain doesn't work. They're excusing behavior that is detrimental to the ability to do any job. And it's sort of fascinating to hear it made that way. Because again, this is the same side of the aisle that thinks the number one reason that Trump shouldn't be in the White House is not because he did something horrible when he was in office. It's not because he did anything that they're going to say is you know, a demonstration of all the fear-mongering before he got in there in 2016. The reason is that he says stuff that they don't like, or he says stuff that they consider to be offensive, so he embarrasses us or embarrasses them or whatever it is that they say he does. And that, again, is excusing behavior where Biden just mumbles nonsense. And actually, you know what's really interesting about this idea, too? There's this moment in an interview that Trump gave when he was president with George Stephanopoulos. Of course, Biden just sat down with George and did terrible things and seemed to still not have a brain that's functioning. And more, denial of the fact that he is absolutely behind Trump in any polling right now, and things don't look good for him. But a moment came up that demonstrated how much better Trump was at dealing with George Stephanopoulos's quote unquote challenging questions. And I just thought it was really interesting because if you wanted a mental acuity test, and I know this is an older video, although Trump doesn't seem to be any less capable than he is here. It seems very much like the current Trump we have. This might be a demonstration of that. When a reporter, news person, whatever you want to call George Stephanopoulos, political operative who worked on the Clinton campaign is another way to describe him. But nonetheless, when he tries to give you a question that's designed to be some sort of stupid trap, you step through it by demonstrating to him his own hypocrisy. That's much better than saying, I don't believe you. I don't agree with the polls that you're saying are out there that are real, even though they're out there and they're real.
When you look back over the sweep of this campaign, going back to last June, is there anything you regret?
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to have done certain things over, but you can't. You can't. But that's true in life. I'd love to have done in life certain things over, I guess. And you would have, too.
Give me one.
You would have loved not to have contributed to the Clinton Foundation, as an example. There are things that you wish you didn't do, okay? You came very close to the edge. You would have loved to have had that decision over again. There are things I would have rather, you know, not happened. But, George, all you can do is you put your head down and you have to go forward.
That's incredible for him to say that there's things he wishes he had done different and things you wish you had done different. And Stephanopoulos jumps in with, give me one. Give me something that we can obsess about, that we can highlight and play all over the place as Trump acknowledges mistake. And instead you say, well, you claim to be independent or bipartisan or, you know, willing to be down the middle journalist guy. And you were still contributing to a campaign that you should have been contributing to. That's excellent. That is the way that political crap back and forth always goes, where the reporter is on a political side and you're on the opposite and you're essentially debating them. And that is something that Biden is utterly incapable of, as we're seeing so very often. All right, I'll take another break. A lot coming up. Greg Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Dana Show. Find her everywhere on social media, Dana Lash or Dana Lash Radio. Two great places to find her on X, on Twitter, just all over. You can find her on iTunes, YouTube, Rumble, all the stuff. I am Craig Collins filling in, and it's time for a quick five.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, let's do this. Apparently, a woman has gone viral for saying the best way to annoy your boyfriend is to call the NBA the MNBA, as in the Men's National Basketball Association. What's really interesting to me about the stupidity of this idea is that the dude doesn't get annoyed. He seems incredibly patient with his girlfriend, who's referring to the WNBA and then the NBA as the MNBA. But this is supposed to demonstrate how horribly sexist men are, and not the fact that the NBA has been in existence since the 1940s and the WNBA has been in existence since 1996. I digress. Here's the actual audio of how one woman claims she's making her boyfriend very mad. But again, he just sounds incredibly patient to me.
No, but what I'm asking is, for the NBA, how do you know if they're talking about the WNBA or the MNBA? Like, when you say NBA, are you talking about, like, how do you know if it's WNBA or MNBA?
Long, confused pause.
Dude, because, like, usually people just say the league.
The league, but then they're talking about both the WNBA and the MNBA.
They're only talking, babe, the thing about it is...
But is the MNBA and the WNBA seasons happening at the same time?
No. No, see, he's incredibly patient. He's listening to her say MNBA several times in a row. So stupid. But again, I love the fact that the example video isn't actually making the guy all that mad, even though we're horrible sexist people. Also, I saw this. The sustainability queen is being praised online. She's a mom who has been gifting her children what she calls trash toys. She finds them in the garbage. She doesn't care what it is. As long as she thinks it's functioning enough, she takes it out of the garbage, gives it to her 2-year-old son, and tells him to enjoy his brand new toy, which he does. You know, the first thing I thought of is, when that kid grows up, is he going to be happy that he was known as Trash Toy Kid online for a while? I doubt the answer is yes, but she's praised because she's repurposing stuff Some of it looks somewhat broken, so I feel bad for that child. And then actually other things out there, cops rescued terrified teens that claimed that they saw a giant Bigfoot with glowing eyes in the Louisiana forest. This is what they claimed. They were attacked by the police. I don't think backed up that it was a Bigfoot. But nonetheless, young teens deep in the forest in Louisiana think that glowing-eyed Bigfoot was about to take them down. That's a real story out there, too. It's Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show. More coming up in a bit.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. Bunch of stuff to talk about. You can find Dana everywhere. iTunes, Spotify, you know, Rumble, YouTube, all over the place. And on Twitter, X, she's got two different places to follow her. Dana Lash and Dana Lash Radio. A follower. She's awesome. Let's do this. Trump has, quote unquote, distanced himself from Project 2025 as more and more Democrats are trying to fearmonger and say that this plan, which was actually created by the Heritage Foundation, a think tank, and put out before Trump even announced that he was running as the president or as a candidate for the office of president. So really not specifically tied to Trump, as he alludes to in some of the things he put up on his social media platform over the weekend. But nonetheless, being talked about a whole bunch because, well, people are fearmongering about it. This is what Trump said first, and then I'll dive a little bit in to Project 2025. Trump said, "I know nothing about Project 2025. I have no idea who is behind it. I disagree with some of the things they're saying, and some of the things they're saying are absolutely ridiculous and abysmal." He is talking more about interviews being given by people behind Project 2025. "Anything they do, I wish them luck, but I have nothing to do with them." He has his own Agenda 47 that's out there that you can check on for things that Trump wants to do. But what is this thing that people are talking about so much? And why is it something that people are afraid of if they're on the left? Essentially, it's trying to remove a lot of power from bureaucracies in D.C. That's my assessment of it. Yeah, there's some things that probably seem as though they're giving a significant amount of authority to the president, when in reality, they're not. They're just giving him more oversight over things that are not a actual branch of our government. They are just the bureaucracy, the political jobs that people hold that they're not elected to. One of the things it actually would do is allow for more cabinet positions to be in charge of some of this stuff, meaning that each president, whoever they are, can actually choose people to be in charge and not just be stuck with who's ever currently employed in some of these roles. None of this seems all that bad to me. They want to do a lot about illegal immigration, which most Americans agree with. But again, it's being claimed to be some sort of crazy far right, I don't know, white nationalist sort of thing, which is often an accusation that gets thrown around there. And it just doesn't appear to be that. But more important, I guess, than anything else is it's not actually something Trump is saying he's going to do, or he's throwing his own support behind, very much the opposite, saying he doesn't really understand or pay much attention to it at all, which seems to be something that would make the left real happy. They're not going to report on it. Or if they do talk about it at all, they're probably going to deny and claim that Trump is lying, which is hilarious. You get what you want from the guy that you obsess about and hate. And instead of actually admitting that you're getting what you want, you find some new way to reject the whole idea of it. That is the move there. The president of the United States put out a letter saying that he is not stepping down, that he's not going away, that he's staying, and that you can't make him quit. Really interesting what happens to the Democratic Party over the next few months. Biden is unelectable. You know that. I know that. They know that. Everyone knows that you can't elect someone who can't finish sentences, and he's not going to do better all of a sudden. He's going to do terrible. The fact that he took so many days at Camp David to prep himself for the first debate versus Trump, and now he actually blames that prep as exhausting him, and also a cold he said he had that he got checked by doctors for something. I don't know. It's sort of amazing and interesting to hear that as the excuse when the reality is that you're just going to see more and more of this. Biden even went to a black church in Philadelphia to try to pander to certain parts of his base. And he seemed to be dazed and confused for a decent amount of the time sitting up there on stage with those individuals. So again, I just find this so important and fascinating to see how the Democratic Party destroys their current president in order to get somebody else in a position of power, whether that's Kamala Harris or who knows who actually would be chosen, because Kamala is not really electable either. It's just interesting to watch. And it's truly a problem of their own making. Denying for so long that Biden is not up to the task of being president is something that is hurting them in a way they didn't have to do it. And they're finally admitting, a lot of mainstream media, that he is in fact not really a guy with a functioning brain. And yet, nonetheless, the discussion, the conversation will revolve much more around whether or not he chooses to step down, as opposed to how they sabotage him. But the best way to sabotage him, if that's what you want to call it, would just be to stop helping him, stop protecting him, let him wander out on his own into a, you know, room and say stuff and then walk out of the room. And you'll know why a specific Alzheimer doctor has visited the White House over 10 times in the last couple of years. A couple other things out there. There's a story about a Russian missile hitting a children's hospital in Kyiv in Ukraine. President Zelensky has reacted to it by saying that he has vowed retaliation. I want to say something unique about this. And I know people aren't really talking about that conflict as much as what's going on with Israel and Hamas, if we're even still discussing that as great of a frequency as before. Biden has really dominated the headlines for good or bad reasons, probably bad if you're Democrats, but certainly a lot of interesting and sort of amusing reasons if you're a conservative or just someone who's been paying attention. But I want to talk about this story because it feels to me, and I'm not denying that it's true, but it feels to me that it's a unique time to try to say something like this to reinvigorate support into that conflict from the American people. To think that a children's hospital is to be, you know, bombed anywhere in the world and that children are victims of some sort of military decision, easily. The human being in all of us wants to jump out and be like, that's horrible. That's terrible. But then part of you wonders what actually happened, because there's been times where these stories have been corrected and then changed, and something that occurred didn't actually occur, or it occurred differently than how you heard. And so it is interesting, even though I saw it reported a lot of places, and I'm not trying to question the actual legitimacy of this specific story. It's just unique timing, timing when, of course, also so much is going wrong for the current president of the United States. And so many of the decisions he's made wind up being decisions that have not really helped us at all, even though he wants to tout them, like the impact he's had on our economy, which has been terrible, that you get back to this story. And it's almost like you're trying to spark support for the president in the conflict where most Americans agree Russia equals bad to some extent. Maybe people don't agree as strongly as others on that, but Russia is not a country that has our best interests at heart, kind of like how we think about China. And so it seems like a more unique demonstration of one of the only issues that, say, Democrats would still hope you gravitate toward, because you'd think of them as people. They can't even do that with Israel and Hamas right now, because there's too much extremism on the left to discuss that topic fairly or accurately at all. And it's something where the Biden administration has tried to take both roads at the same time. So I think that's interesting. Also, you have out there a publishing of some demands for Benjamin Netanyahu, for Israel and their ongoing conflict with Hamas, for simplistic demands, none of which seem bad at all, but all of which are now being covered as the things that are going to make a truce or a ceasefire or something of any kind more difficult. Again, I can read the demands for you. I did this a little bit earlier. Any deal would need to allow Israel to resume fighting at some point until all objectives of their war are achieved. That means the removal of Hamas, something that the United States even agrees in. That doesn't seem like a unrealistic desire or demand. There will be no smuggling of weapons to Hamas from Egypt across the Gaza border. That seems like a reasonable demand. There will be no return of thousands of armed terrorists to the northern Gaza Strip in whatever way, shape, or form that happens, via people that are being demanded to be freed from Israel jails or people that have actually gone to other parts of the world. It doesn't seem like something that Israel should tolerate, and it seems like an appropriate demand. And then finally, Israel would maximize the number of living hostages that are released by Hamas and they've been captive for 9 months now. That also seems like a realistic and a position that almost anyone would take. There's approximately 116 hostages that are believed to still be held by Hamas. And the hope is that many of those hostages are still alive. The fear is that many of them are maybe not. But nonetheless, none of that seems to me to be unrealistic. And that's how some are covering this. Benjamin Netanyahu has put into jeopardy any sort of hostage release, any sort of beneficial movement in a short-term agreement with a terrorist group. I just hate the way that's covered. It annoys me so much to read the discussions and coverage on that topic, because the other thing that's missing from it, and I'll just do this quickly and move on, is that Israel by and large supports the Israeli people, the ending of Hamas, like substantially so. And so any person in charge, Netanyahu or someone else, would need to go forward in that mission to make the people of their country happy. And so whenever Democratic politicians say you need to replace Benjamin Netanyahu, which Israel, I think, is likely to do whenever this conflict is actually over for a variety of other reasons, it wouldn't change the position of the Israeli people and what they want to see happen with the terrorist group that horrifically attacked them back in October. All right. One other quick thing just out there. The hurricane Beryl has been downgraded, I think, to a tropical storm. There are tons and tons of people with power outages throughout a whole lot of Texas. I think 2.5 million people by one of the last estimates I saw. There are at least a couple people who've lost their lives due to that storm. It's good news whenever anything gets downgraded to something less severe. It doesn't mean that it's, you know, not severe at all, though. So I'm sure there's still a lot of places that need to do everything they can to protect themselves. But nonetheless, this is a bigger story out there, mostly because of the amount of people without power as Texas is getting hit very hard by that tropical storm. All right. On that note, we will take a quick break. We got a little bit more left, including the stupidest thing you'll hear all day today toward the tail end of the show. A quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Dana Show. You can find her everywhere, D-Lash or Dana Lash Radio on X. You can find her on DirecTV Channel 347, The First TV, so many things. I'm Craig Collins filling in for her. You can find me, Radio Craig C, on social media too. California has recently told us that almost all of its water systems throughout the entire state are at risk of failing for a variety of reasons. I think Newsweek is one of the places that reported on this, whether it's a need to improve water treatment systems, counteract cyber attacks, or meet new requirements by the Environmental Protection Agency. Almost all of the water systems in California are not doing well, you know, on the brink is what they're saying. And I don't know if that's just to raise more public money, to give them money that they don't spend correctly on fixing whatever the issues are, or if it's yet another reason that you should not move to California, if that's a place you've been considering, which I'd feel bad for you if you were, for a variety of reasons. All right, other stuff out there, just quickly. Gen Z apparently has a brand new trend that is making rounds online, something that they call the Aura Points System. It's sort of a video game-esque in how they talk about it. It's abundantly stupid as well. But people who have, a good aura or a good fortune, or people who do good things in the world wind up leveling up or maxing their AP or their aura points. So dumb. One of the things I love, though, and I saw this in the New York Post as far as the story goes, was a quote from a young person that said that when you do good things online, when you do stuff that people pay attention to on your social media pages, it translates to good on the other side of the phone, meaning the real world, meaning real life, meaning the thing that's not the fake internet thing that should not be more important than your real life. There's something about that that's terrifying to hear young people talk about how the, you know, social media persona they have is more important than the things they do as a human walking around in society. But there's a whole lot of that going around, so I shouldn't just judge, and I'm millennial. So it's probably my generation too, doing stupid, stupid things, but nonetheless terrifying. And I will judge because, you know, I feel like that's fine. Other things out there, just quickly that I saw before we get to our today in stupidity moment in about a minute or so. Trader Joe's had a receipt go viral. This is actually also in California. A family spent $444 at Trader Joe's, people calling it insane. Most of the items they bought were actually between $3 and $4, but there were several more expensive items too. But the receipt is very long. I'm not going to pretend as though it's not ridiculous to spend $444.38 as a family on what probably is just mostly groceries. But what I did find interesting about it is it caused a debate online about which grocery stores are more and less affordable, as opposed to the fact that almost all grocery stores have horrible pricing because of the inflation that exists in our society. People were trying to break bad on Trader Joe's specifically, which is fine. I just think that if you go somewhere else, you're probably also spending a ridiculous amount of money for that many items, and it probably would still go viral. All right, one other quick thing, and I can try to play this audio if we can squeeze this into. A high school teacher gave her kids an assignment asking students to write about anything they felt like writing about, and the results were, well, terrible. A lot of kids wanted to write about stuff that not many of us would respect. Here's a quick piece of audio for that.
We're telling them they can write about whatever they want. Topics include Jimmy Buffett. Was he a good guy? Magnet fishing. Coral reefs. Naruto. The effects of LSD on the body. Human augmentation. Why umpires are the worst. Travis Scott. Women's fashion in the Victorian era. Kurt Cobain. The hijab ban in France. Chapel Rowan. How suburbia is ruining American culture. Axe throwing. The New York Times games like the spelling bee. Whole bunch on soccer. Messi's the best. Ronaldo's the best. A few more on basketball. The inspiration behind the film Godzilla.
That's what kids want to write about in high school. That is definitely stupid. But you know what? It's nothing compared to what is today's moment in stupidity. Today in stupidity.
It is John Kirby. It's his turn to defend Biden. Here's what he said. Nice. I'll let you react to this.
The last thing I'm going to do is sit here and talk about every meeting I've had with the president. What I can tell you is what I saw in that debate is not reflective of the man and the leader and the commander in chief that I have spent many, many hours with over the last 2.5 years in terms of the specificity of the way he probes, the questions he asks. Hey,
so
just
smart.
This morning, he was asking me questions about the situation on the European continent that I couldn't answer. And
He confused me. It was amazing. He's incredible. I love that. John Stewart had the best reaction. That's not something I say often about Biden and what he does behind closed doors. He told Democrats to show us that. If it's true, then tape some of it and show it to people. Don't keep telling us he's a genius when the cameras are off. All right, this is Craig Collins filling in. See you later. The Dana Show.